It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 733, or should I say day 56 of captivity. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. I have not had any voicemails in a very long time. You're stuck in captivity at home. Record some questions or comments and send them to me. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Also, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at MikeTechShow.com. Or go directly to instanthousecall.com, use the promo code MikeTechShow, and you'll receive a 15-day trial for free. The show is also brought to you by MagnusBox, secure, reliable, multi-platform online backup for your machines, all your clients. If you mention that you heard it on the Mike Tech Show, you'll get 50% off for your first 3 months. And oh, by the way, for Instant House Call, that also applies. You'll get 50% off for your first 3 months. And right now, it's working on Windows, Mac, Linux. They're working on a Synology NAS client for backing up. I can't wait till that hits. When that does, man, I got a lot of clients for that. They have a new backup plan, MagnusBox One. It combines their two plans into one, and it makes it easier for techs to sign up, and it's even more affordable. They are HIPAA compliant. Give it a try. I love it. I use it for every client of mine that needs online backup. This is the solution. Tonight's show, and we're starting a little early tonight, and I was talking about that in the pre-show. I've been up since way, way too early this morning, like 4 a.m., and I'm getting ready to drop. I am hitting the wall, and I figured, let me just start a little bit, then I can get to bed early tonight. So tonight, we're going to talk about anti-duple. Going to describe that. That's for finding similar pictures and cleaning up duplicate photos, how to do that for a client. Going to visit portableapps.com for graphics and pictures. We're going to talk about two scripting programs, AutoIT and AutoHotkey. And then going to wrap up with a PowerShell script that someone recommended a while ago that I linked, but again, was last week. Winston Wolf came and mentioned this, and I'm going to have a link, going to talk about that. It is a PowerShell script that basically you can run that's a Windows 10 decrapifier. So let's get started. And the first thing we're going to do is anti-duple, D-U-P-L, is a program for finding similar pictures. And we're going to talk about how this works. The link to download this free program will be in the show notes. When you first run it, you're going to have to give it a path. So there's a little folder icon that when you highlight it, it reads paths. Open that up and first give it a try on adding the path to your pictures folder. Begin adding that folder. Once you add that folder, there's a nice green button to start search. Start the search. may take a few minutes. I had a client with 15,000 pictures and multiple duplicates. She knows she's loaded her iPhone multiple times to the system. You know, you either yourself, family, friends, clients have this problem where they don't take the time on that first dump from their phone for pictures and name them and categorize them. Who does that? Who has the time? Now, there's some probably detail-oriented people, little OCD, and they do that, and that's great. I wish I was one of them for pictures. Or I should say my wife. I have to run this on my wife's folder, and I haven't even done that because I think she has more than 15,000 pictures. Once you run that, it will put groups together of all of the similar pictures, and you look at two at a time, and they will have thumbnails at the top and bottom on the left-hand side, and you can either delete them both. Maybe it's a bad picture, and you have the two pictures with a big X through the two, or you can delete the top one or the bottom one, and you're given very specific information of where they're from, because you might have already categorized one, and then you got this loose one hanging there. Now, I have a group right now, three groups of eight, of we'll say group 18, and it's a picture of me with the struts when I had a VIP pass, and my son Ryan and I seen them, and I'm like, well, how did multiple pictures of these get into my system? And if you increase the details for the folder, I have some in the downloads, I have some in an iCloud photo, and then I have some in another, somehow in another folder. I can delete both pictures because there's so many duplicates, or I can delete the better of the two because there might be slight difference. You know how sometimes, especially on an iPhone, I know when I click, or I might click a couple times and you got several. Well, this is your chance to pick the best one and start deleting. You're going to love it. I highly recommend this as a simple, free program that I actually got billable time on it by running this and helping my client and training her to clean up the photos. It's awesome. So that's antidupl.net. It's a sourceforge.net, antidupl. So give that a try if you or anybody you know is in the need for that. So this led me to the next link, which is, well, how do you edit these? What's the best thing to view them? So I wanted to make a really nice photo topic. And I love portable apps. If you've been listening to me for years and years, when I started the Mike Tech Show, I was the first one to start talking about portable apps and just loved it. A portable app, by definition, is a full application that you can unzip, unarchive into a single directory or a thumb drive, and the entire program runs from that directory. It will not make any registry changes. It will not start putting files at other places. So it's got to be able to run in place, which, by the way, AntiDupl qualifies for that. Well, portable apps, you have a CAD program, you have LibreCAD portable, diagramming, drawing, and animation, but here, image editors, GIMP, G-I-M-P portable, that's the big photo image editor that competes with Photoshop, and it's free. That whole section, you have PNG optimizer, you have Smart D-Blur to sharpen out of focus and blurry. You have AnyFX Portable, which is a full-featured cursor editor. Now, image viewers, I love EarthView Portable. It's freeware. It's a lightweight graphic viewer, and you can do quick manipulation. I also use this to convert like a JPEG to a BMP or a GIF to a JPEG, JPEG to GIF. It is so easy to open a file with this. As a matter of fact, this is my default file viewer in Windows 10. So I can just open up a JPEG, open up anything, and I can save it as another name, save it as a different format, and I get the conversion. Love it. And that's UrfanView. And now, UrfanView has a full version and a portable. Now, I have the portable on my USB stick, but I install the full version on my computers. As a matter of fact, that's almost a standard with VLC when we're setting up a new system for a client, because VLC, you don't need any codecs to play any audio or video. It just plays everything. And then UrfanView for handling all the graphics. And there you go. To continue in the image viewers category, we have Cornice, Cornice Portable, Differing, Faststone Image Viewer Portable, JPEG View Portable, and XnView Portable. I know a lot of people, to view, organize, and convert photos. I know that's also very popular. We have another category, Rendering, Andrea Mosaic Portable, Blender Portable, K3D, Fry Portable, Hotspot Studio Portable to mix light to create art. This link that I have is just a small sampling of portable apps for the graphics and pictures category. Think if you start exploring some of the other utilities, security, games, education, development, accessibility. They are all of the portable app categories. You will spend days on this site just exploring portable apps. I love this site. So that should be a good bookmark. The next section for the show is scripting within Windows using a third-party program. Two that I'm going to recommend here. One is AutoIT. Now that one I haven't used. It's AutoIT. And this program, I have a client that has to script many, many things within Windows to automate in their ERP system. And this is the manufacturer. And there is a guy that's now the local IT. I'm also the IT support. He's full-time, and he has found that AutoIT is it. This is free to use. It is a freeware, basic-like scripting language designed for automating the Windows GUI and general scripting. It uses a combination of simulated keystrokes, mouse movements, and window control manipulation in order to automate tasks in a way not possible or as reliable with other languages like VBScript and SendKeys. AutoIT is very small, self-contained, and will run on all versions of Windows out of the box with no annoying runtimes required. I don't have any experience with AutoIT except it's endorsed by someone that I know, one of my clients, that uses this all the time. Now, the next one that we're going to talk about for a minute is AutoHotkey. I talked about this a long time ago, and the reason this came up, a client, this is actually a new client, who needed a way to script and automate certain keystrokes when he's entering information, when he's doing some things, there are some repetitiveness that he can automate. This is the simplest way that I've ever seen to automate, and I've done a couple test scripts. It's a free open source scripting language for Windows that allows users to easily create small to complex scripts for all kinds of tasks, such as form fillers, auto-clicking macros, etc. Like, let's say I want to type something, hit enter, go down to the next line, do something. Maybe it's something that I want to automate entering in a spreadsheet. Maybe it's a repetitive task in Syncro that we're doing. It's little text files that they can set you up to easily create your first script by using very simple commands. You start every script a certain way, and they give you the logic for that. And then you can put the send command and what you want to type. You can easily assign it to like Alt-J or Alt-K or Control-J, Control-K. You can set up quick, easy macros that every time you boot, you can have this load to where you hit a key combination and a whole bunch of things happen. It is a way to really automate your life with all kinds of, if you see yourself doing a repetitive task all the time when you're looking at something or addressing something, this is what you do to help automate. I think this is a great launch pad to get familiar with programming if you haven't already. If you've ever done any programming, this is a piece of cake. If you haven't did programming, this is a good way to get your feet wet. And then move on to the next script that I'm going to talk about, which is PowerShell. Now, PowerShell is, boy, what a great name, Power. It's extremely powerful scripting language that many listeners use this for automating tasks. This is where Winston Wolf is brilliant at automating all of his work for his clients in PowerShell. And in a previous show, he put a link into the chat, and I made a note of it and swore I would talk about this. It's right out of the Spiceworks community, and it is the source code for Windows 10 Decrapifier. Now, you have to go through this because you want to be careful of everything that it's going to do. And you want to make sure that these little commandlets that's going to be running and what it's looking for, what it's removing, you want to test this on a test system. Don't dare push this to a live production computer. Don't ever do a script like that. It's why I have two test systems. I have a system behind me, which is the semi-test system. It's where I do Windows 10 upgrades, Office upgrades. But then I have what we call the Syncro test system here in the office. You don't even see it on camera. It's under the workbench table way over my head in the back of the room. It's tucked away underneath. That is where I do testing of any script, whether it comes from a community where it's been tested. I don't care. I got to certify. You don't dare take a script that someone hands you without testing it or reading through it and understanding what it's doing, because it could be so dangerous. And the reason why I now have two test systems is because I can't make this up. And I might have mentioned this before, when I first got Syncro and I started rolling everything and getting it and adding all the customers and adding all the assets, which, by the way, we need one more asset. Oh, we might have added that today to get to 200 assets. So I have 63 customers in Syncro and 200 assets that we manage. And I know there's probably 100 more that we can rope in when we get the chance. They're not retainer clients, but we should have an easy way to manage. And I can just do one click and pull up and see what configuration the system is and what what Windows updates are left. So I can leave those unmonitored, but at least have Syncro on them so it's reporting back information to me. Because there's different levels of policies that you can implement. This is not a Syncro training, so I'm not going to do that. But, and I still have to get with Adam. You listen to the show every day. I am going to reach out. He's going to teach me invoicing with Syncro. I promise I am going to reply to that email. He caught me and I had to cancel. He was going to train me how to do the scripts and I had to cancel that. And now I want to reschedule because I am excited about implementing that. Anyway, let's get back. I wrote a script for cleaning, or should say took a script and then started modifying it to do my cleaning. And I wiped every directory from the system, all because I thought I was deleting just temp directories. No, the command I launched deleted the files of every directory. So when that thing rebooted, never to boot again, that machine. Now, it was a test system. Matter of fact, the one behind me, and I didn't have an image. So the first thing I did was redid everything from scratch. Got a nice base, happy install with Office and everything tweaked the way I want. Did an Acronis image of it. Now that's sitting there ready to deploy if I destroy it again. Did the same with the Syncro test system. I have the base configuration. I have an Acronis image of it. And if I destroy the system with a script, I don't care. And that's the definition of a test system. Have a great base backup that you can be happy from, that you can restore in a few minutes and be back up and running as your test system. And I strongly recommend that. Get up. An older computer that a client brings in that he doesn't need anymore, you know, strip it down, get Windows 10 on it and start, you know, put it away, put it aside, get it on the network. I have it launch because I don't care if anything happens to it. So I don't even have a password because I don't have a keyboard, a mouse, or a monitor hooked up to it. I have instant house call and I have a Syncro agent on it. That's all I need. I remote into it. If I need a console, then I got to go plug it in. And I can do that easily from the workbench, but I'm not going to allocate anything for it. I don't need it. It's a test system and there's no password. So when it's all done and it'll just reboot. I'm very proud of something here that I was able to do yesterday. A client reports to me his system at work has frozen. And he can see that it's frozen. And he uses an instant house call sub account, which does connect, but everything's frozen. So I said, get out, log out. I log in and everything's frozen. Nobody's in this office and nobody's going to be in this office. I go to Syncro and I see that it's online. And this is my RMM program. And I see that I can remote in. Still everything frozen. So now I wonder, can I, since no keys to reboot, I have two choices, but I wanted to do a script. Instant house call has an emergency reboot, but I wanted to test a script that I modified to reboot remotely a computer. So I scheduled to immediately run my reboot script that was done in PowerShell. It says it was successful. I'm waiting a couple minutes, a green light that it's back on and everything's perfect. Now, I haven't had a chance to analyze the event logs yet to see what exactly caused the freeze, but I was able to call the client back who's working from home and said, you're good to go. Go ahead and connect. And away he went connecting and all good, all happy. Because I was able to launch that script. That's just awesome and just one little success of using Syncro and being able to send scripts. Now, instant house call, it's pretty cool. That has saved me. It doesn't work all the time on a freeze, but it got me out of trouble once on a server where I was able to force an emergency reboot because there was a problem. And this was a long time ago, and it successfully rebooted. It took a few tries of me connecting and it's sending that command. And then finally it kicked, it rebooted, and everything was good, because I didn't want to get up and have to drive down and drive 45 minutes to get there. And yes, I have access to the building, but I didn't want to have to do that and then manually reboot the system. And I wanted it up and running before the morning because I didn't want anybody to be disturbed when they were coming in. There are lots of tools and lots of things that can help make your life easy on managing anything that you do for a client. And I think that's where these two scripting programs and this example of the PowerShell decrapifier, removing all the crap that's installed on systems and tweaking Windows 10. These are the tools that you want to master if you want to automate your support business to be able to fix things. Like if I have a client right now that has a printer problem, well, the first thing I do is I launch the printer fix script, which stops the print spooler service, goes to that directory that is Windows System 32 spool printers, and the files that are in that directory, delete them, and then go back and start the spooler service. Many, many times that fixes the printer problem. And we can do that in a minute without me typing all that. Just an example of how you can make your life a lot easier and therefore take on more business and not have to hire more bodies, maybe, or just making life simpler for your team for support. If you are buying from Amazon, and you have to be because your clients need things that you got to get, I'm still buying a tremendous amount from Amazon because we're trapped like rats, and you can't get out. And there's certain things that you could easily buy from Amazon. Please use our link. That's the best way to support the show. For Carrie Holzman and myself, using our Amazon link is the way to go for the best way to support us. A small commission after you click on our link and add the items then to your cart, your price stays the same. We get a small commission after it ships, and we don't know who bought what. Remember that. That's all private. We don't see that. We just see dollar amounts, and every penny counts. We really appreciate that. Also, sponsors, thank you to Instant House Call and Magnus Box. Please check them out. Check out the demos. Try it out, and then go back, and then mention that, hey, I heard it on the Mike Tech Show. Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro, just used that today. So a client yesterday, a refurb system that we sold, would no longer boot, and it would come up, no operating system found. And then another time it came up, you know, to only do the repair. And of course, the repair didn't work. So I sent my son out yesterday. He brought the system back to our office here because he couldn't fix it. I thought it was going to be, he had to just go into the BIOS and just set the proper boot order, because sometimes that gets messed up. Nope. The operating system just crashed. It wouldn't go. So rather than spend any time repairing it, I had him pop out the solid state drive. I put it in my dock here. I read it, and I could. And then I was able to run fabs against it. He had just so little data. I was able to just back it up to a directory, quickly move it onto our Synology NAS, and the drive tested out and it's fine. It's just that the operating system got messed up. And this was so fast. While I'm doing this, my son was installing Windows 10 from scratch on another SSD. Put it in. We set up Office. I did the restore for Fabs. And that's what the whole point here is, the Fabs auto backup with all of his documents, his files, his settings, all of his browser settings. I didn't have to worry about it. I used Fabs auto backup. Couple minutes, boom, I had everything restored. My son's delivering the computer tomorrow morning. done, fixed, by just using FABs, getting another drive in there. Now I can format and recycle the one SSD because there's no problem. And we were able to do this together in minutes. So great, great utility. We use it almost every day. That's it. Everybody, please be careful out there. Stay safe. Think first before you do anything. I want you here forever listening. And I want to be here forever. I want to, for as long as we can, we want to be doing this. So be careful. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers out there. And don't forget your mother. Now, it may be difficult to get her talked into Zoom, but a lot of them probably now, they have Zoom accounts and you can, you know, reach out. So even though there could be great distances, hopefully you'll find a way to connect with her this weekend, this Sunday. As a matter of fact, we're opening up a little bit here at the house. We're going to have my two youngest. They're going to come because it's been a while since we've seen them. And we're going to hang out on Mother's Day on Sunday. So everybody have a safe, have a great week, because I want to see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.